In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last month, as you know, I was in Colorado Springs, Colorado, at the Garden of the Gods, and then on to Moab, Utah, to Arches National Park, Canyonlands National Park, and seeing those giant rocks and the magnificent rock formations, I got to thinking how rocks are used throughout the Bible to communicate the power and the provision and the protection that God has given His people. In Exodus, God brought forth water from a rock to sustain His people in the desert. Exodus. In Deuteronomy, Moses bid farewell to Israel. He called God the rock, whose work is perfect and ways are just. Rocks are often used as altars and foundations on which to build. In the Psalms, David refers to the Lord as his rock and his redeemer. Isaiah calls God the rock of refuge. Yes, I can understand why rocks are used throughout the Bible as a way to describe God. And that's what makes this passage today so puzzling. Today's gospel reading, Jesus is alone with his disciples. He had just completed one of the most amazing and exhausting stretches in his earthly ministry. Just look at what has been going on in the last two chapters, chapter 14 and 15 of Matthew. After he was told John, his cousin, had died, he healed masses, he fed 5,000, he walked on water, healed some more. He confronts and offends the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. He retreats to a pagan region where he drives a demon from the daughter of a Gentile woman. Then he heads back to Galilee, where he is once again met by the crowds who bring the crippled, the lame, the blind, the mute, and many others, and Jesus heals them all. And then he feeds another cast of thousands, this time with 7 loaves. He once again takes on the church leaders. And finally, after all of this extraordinary activity, Jesus and his disciples retreat to the north side of the Sea of Galilee. And they are finally alone. And the disciples realize that they forgot to bring food. In verse 7, Matthew tells us that as they are talking anxiously with each other about their lack of bread, Jesus interrupts them and says, "You of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered?" After everything they had seen, after everything that they had witnessed, they finally get away with Jesus and they're worried about what they're going to have for supper. Are you kidding me? These disciples are eyewitnesses to the most incredible, most miraculous events in the history of the world, and they still don't get it. This is important to understand as we look at this text, because at this point, they're still clueless. They are not the heroes of the faith. They're not bold and courageous men. These disciples are broken, petty, scared, hungry, who lack the simple faith of a child. And these are the men that Jesus speaks to when he asks, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And this was a question the disciples had no problem answering. The crowds that had followed Jesus throughout the countryside must have had many debates about who this miracle worker really was. And the disciples, no doubt, had their murmurings. So they quickly answered. Some say John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And then Jesus asks the question that completely turns the table on the 12. Who do you say that I am? The Bible doesn't tell us, but the scene unfolding before us, I can imagine there was a lot of silence, a lot of eyes going down to the ground following Jesus' question. They witnessed his divine power. They had certainly entertained their own secret thoughts about who Jesus really was, and now Jesus turns the tables on to them directly, puts them on the spot. What about you? Who do you say that I am? And then Peter strikes the silence. He says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. As we consider this text, this great confession, the temptation here is to hold up Peter, celebrate him as the great spiritual giant, as a role model for all of us to follow. Remember, Peter was a mess. He sank in the waves when he took his eyes off Jesus. He was worried about others, about where they would get their next meal. And then we know, as he faced the questions about his loyalty to Jesus in the courtyard, he swore up and down that he never knew the man. This was no model of faith. This was no rock solid believer. And yet his confession was right on. How can this be? It's because this life-saving, life-changing, life-giving confession of faith was not from Peter. This confession was the work of God. And Jesus affirms this. He doesn't say, way to go, Pete. You really know your stuff. Jesus doesn't tell the rest of the disciples that they need to be more like Peter. No, instead Jesus tells Peter, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. He was blessed not because of anything he had done. Peter was blessed because to him God revealed Christ. Peter made no contribution in this process. Instead, faith in Christ and the power to confess was given to Peter as a gift, pure gift. 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And this great confession from Peter through the Spirit had been given, been planted in Peter, and Peter could do nothing else but confess it. But what about when Jesus says to Simon, you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church? Isn't he giving some credit to Peter for his bold faith? Absolutely not. When we look at the language, the original language, this is very helpful. Jesus' words actually read something like this. You are Petros. On this Petra, I will build my church. It's clear the new name given to Simon, Petros, is actually derived, taken from Petra, which means rock. not the other way around. Like the word American is taken from America, or Christian comes from Christ. Jesus is telling Simon that he and his faith are directly derived from the rock who is Christ, the Son of the living God. And in Isaiah 51, verse 1, look to the rock from which you were cut, and to the quarry from which you were hewn. This is exactly what Jesus is saying to Simon. You are a stone cut from the ultimate rock. And without the Petra, there is no Petros. So why is this important? What meaning does this have for us here and now? Brothers and sisters in Christ, today I'm here to tell you that for us, these words of Jesus mean everything. Because you see, there are plenty of times in our lives when you and I are no models of faith. In fact, for the vast majority of our lives, we would not consider ourselves rock solid. Truth be told, our lives are riddled with doubts, enshrouded in moral failings. We are not the kind of people on which you would build anything, let alone the church. And yet to us, Christ has been revealed. You see, God does it all. Your faith, your confession of faith, rests solely on God. In your baptism, the Father, through the Spirit, revealed Christ to you in an intimate, personal way. And that surpasses understanding. And as Jesus said to Peter today, because I have revealed myself to you, you are blessed. And today, in hearing the gospel, and eating and drinking the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you are blessed. No matter how solid or shaky you may feel today, no matter how shameful you have failed to live the Christian life, our rock, Jesus Christ, has died for you and your sins are forgiven. You are right with God. And you know what? He promises that heaven will be filled with once miserable, now forgiven sinners, just like you. Don't look at yourself for salvation. Look to Christ. In Christ, we see the heart of God. And upon this rock, Jesus told Peter, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not overcome it. Paul wrote, it's by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Today you are blessed because the Father in heaven has revealed this gift to you. Rejoice in the rock of our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.